Let's prepare the atmosphere by lifting our hearts to the King of Kings. Come, now is the time to worship. Here we go. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
One more time.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
Let's go up.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
One more time.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. So Lord, we come. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your. Just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, come, come. We bow down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the we bow down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of Your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Bow down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Sing that again, because He is
worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing
praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of the name above all names. Jesus, name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Worshiping here is rich, you know. Part of it is the diversity of the body. Part of it is getting to hear what's happening in Memphis with the gospel, as well as in this country, and as well as around the world. So I'm always thankful to be here. Today we have a speaker that was born in Uganda. He's like a 3.5 generation Christian, Ugandan Christian. And what I mean by that is in the late 1800s, the gospel came to Uganda, near where his ancestral home is. The first three martyrs for Christ in Uganda occurred 2 years later. Three young Ugandans were martyred for Christ. And Joe is a product of the church that blossomed in Uganda and continues to grow today. How did he get here? But God, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, put in his heart a vision when he was a teenager growing up in just a poor town called Lugazi in Uganda, near Lake Victoria. And I don't know, not many people get the call of God in their teens that continues to resonate with them throughout their entire life. And so as a result of what God laid on his heart as a teen, he's created the Levites Academy for people like himself growing up, not knowing Christ, not knowing how to get a job. So it's a bivocational Christian academy in his hometown. It's an amazing story if you just listen to how someone born poor in Luganda ended up getting a Christian education at a prominent Christian school in Chicago, and then a master's degree in education from University of Memphis here in Memphis, Tennessee. Worship in Uganda is different than here. Church is different there than here. There tends to be a focus on the word. We want to know the word here. There tends to be a focus in Uganda about knowing Jesus Christ. It's not to say the American church doesn't want to know Jesus, but one of the things that is amazing to me is to hear Joe and our men's group, his view of the gospel is so relational because Ugandans are so relational. One of the things, if you get to go to Uganda, and I hope you do one day, they have all kinds of ways of welcoming you. And one of the things that they do is they clap three times. Like that. Got it? And they welcome, if you're in church, they welcome the Holy Spirit for the speaker coming. So if you would stand with me and let's welcome Joe Wakabi. So here's the way it goes. Try it. One, two, three. Okay, let's do it. Here you go, Joe. Holy Spirit, on this man.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for every man and woman in this room. Lord, may I decrease as you increase right now. Father, may your words permeate our hearts today. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading most of my notes here today. And if there's nothing you take out of this, this is what I want you to take out. God has called us believers to a life of faithfulness. Not the narrow kind, but a faithfulness that permeates every facet of our being. I'm going to say that one more time. God has called us to a life of faithfulness. Not the narrow kind, but a faithfulness that permeates every facet of our being. This is really coming from my personal experience right now, and I hope I'll get a chance to share a little bit of what I am going through as a person. As I pondered about what to share with you this morning, God impressed on my heart to talk to you about one of his attributes that most resonates with me. If there is an attribute that mostly speaks to me, it is his faithfulness. And the reason that is because of the gravity of my unfaithfulness. I took time to look up the English definition of the term faithfulness, and here is what I found. Guys, I want you to indulge me here. As I read the English definition of the word faithfulness, I need you to write down on a scale of 1 to 10 where you fall on each of these definitions. Please do that for me. As I read, there are four definitions that I found. As I read each of the definitions, on a scale of 1 to 10, I need you to write down where you fall. Here is the first definition. Faithfulness is lasting loyalty and trustworthiness in relationships, especially in marriage or friendship. I'll read that one more time. Faithfulness is a lasting loyalty and trustworthiness in relationship, especially in marriage or friendship. Where do you fall on a scale of 1 to 10? It's a fact or quality of being true to one's words or commitments. It's a fact or quality of being dedicated and steadfast in performing one's duty. It's a quality of adhering to fact, standard, or original. I hope you have written down where you fall on the spectrum of 1 to 10 on each of those definitions. The Greek origin of the word is pistos, and it means reliability, trustworthiness, or a character of one who can be relied upon. So before I dug in on God's faithfulness, I wanted to show the gravity of man's unfaithfulness, but quickly I discovered something. Before I tell you what I discovered, how many of you had the highest mark on the first definition of faithfulness? Just one? Oh, there are two? Where was your highest mark on the definition of faithfulness? Come on, indulge me here.
9.5.
9.5? Okay.
I reserved 0.5 for some prayer.
Okay. This is what I found when I studied the word faithfulness. Majority of conventional literal wisdom and writings denote unfaithfulness to infidelity. It's within the context of marriage. And in my opinion, that is very myopic. I will later tell you why. Faithfulness only truly works within the confines of a mutual understanding. It starts with a commitment. There has to be prior knowledge. I do not believe it is right to expect someone to be faithful without laying down the expectations or creating an understanding. Likewise, God does not expect or require non-believers to be faithful. They do not know him or what is expected of them. Sadly, all talk about man's unfaithfulness in Scripture is about us men and women who are believers. We who have tested that the Lord is good, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3. You men and women who have heard the gospel, believed in your hearts that Jesus is Lord, and confessed with your mouth that God raised him from the dead. That's from Romans chapter 10. That's who God talks about. That's who Scripture talks about when it talks about unfaithful people. Ladies and gentlemen, because you have made that commitment, because you understood and decided to follow him, that is why you are required to be faithful. So allow me, therefore, to submit to you my definition of unfaithfulness. Biblical unfaithfulness is an adamant refusal to bear the fruits of the Spirit. And it is straight from James chapter 4, verses 17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and does not do it, it is sin for them. Why is unfaithfulness a refusal? Because we know we have encountered him and gained the knowledge and truth of his word. Because we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and therefore we simply choose to grieve him. That's why we are unfaithful. I hope that you think about this. The reason we are unfaithful is because we have confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And that in itself creates an expectation. The reason we are called unfaithful, brothers and sisters, is because we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. The Bible says that greater is he that is on the inside of us than the devil that is in the world. So every time we choose to be unfaithful, we are grieving the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. None of us in this room does not know the mandate given to us through the Great Commission. We all do. But how are we doing on that mandate? That's just a quick example. We all do understand the requirements laid down to us in Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit that we need to cultivate on a daily basis. The Bible is very clear. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is why if we limit unfaithfulness to marriage, we are missing the point. So this is what I found. The reason it is so easy for us to just think of faithfulness and unfaithfulness in the context of marriage is because it is like one sinner being asked to keep another sinner accountable. We are all sinners. You two people who go into a marriage are all sinners. So it is easy for you to say, I'm faithful to my spouse. Because all of you are sinners. You are going to overlook a lot of things. But faithfulness needs to permeate every piece of our lives. Faithfulness needs to grow out of the fruits of the Spirit. Faithfulness needs to obey what the Lord says, not just in marriage, but in every facet of our lives. That's where God calls us to be faithful. If we just limit it to one area, then we are going to quickly tick that dot. Brothers and sisters, we are continually rationalizing our faithfulness by claiming that we are so busy. We are busy chugging away at those jobs and ministries, spending time together at local churches and social events. We have mistaken activity for productivity. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 5 says, we have a form of godliness but deny its power. This is something that speaks so much to me, guys. I know many pastors and ministry leaders who fear to evangelize, but yet they say they follow Christ, but they can't go out of their way to speak to someone about the gospel. Their main way of evangelizing, or what they call evangelism, is at the pulpit. Bring them in, then I will deliver the message to them. But God calls you to a life of evangelism on a daily basis, everywhere you go. I know ministry leaders and you guys who are working jobs where if the people that you work with knew or found out that you are born again, they would be repulsed. They would never accept the Lord. That means we are not being faithful. We are just busybodies waking up every morning trying to say, oh, I'm feeding my family. You are ticking that. I'm feeding my family. I'm being faithful, going to work. But you're not being faithful in every way. Another constraint of our unfaithfulness, or one of the things that prevents us from being faithful, is because of our inverted pyramids of what we feed on in terms of information. If the Breitbart News or CNN or Fox News or whatever news or social media outlet is your main source of edification, you are going to be unfaithful. Amen. When scripture is not what is edifying you on a daily basis, your predisposition to faithfulness is not going to be existent, guys. Matthew 6, chapter 21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. On that pyramid of information intake, the foundation must be scripture and scripture alone. All other information, therefore, must be processed through the lenses of scripture. But how many of us feed on CNN? Feed on Fox News. And how are you going to live a life that Christ requires you to, when all you do is feed on social media. Instead of processing social media through the lenses of Scripture. That's why we are living a life of fear. That's why we are living a life of being defeated, because we are feeding on this propaganda that is causing us to fear instead of feeding on the Word of God that tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But we have inverted that pyramid. We are feeding on social media. We are feeding on our favorite people in the news. And then we get a little inkling of the Scripture. We are not going to be faithful, guys. We are not. It is not going to happen. Another shield for us that prevents us from being faithful is our materialism. There's nothing that has driven us to a life of complacency and unfaithfulness like materialism. The prevalence of advertisement and government safety nets like credit cards has only made this worse. If you're an employer today, you know how hard it is to get people to come to work, because again, government is keeping on dishing things to people. It's so difficult for us as Americans to truly trust in the Lord when we have all these safety nets, when we know that I will swipe my credit card when I don't have money and things will work out. How are you going to be faithful to the Lord when there is that? When you know that when I lose my job, there's unemployment that is going to show up. Sometimes it is difficult. Amen. Deuteronomy 8:10 says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hand, and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. Some of us have grown complacent, that's why we are unfaithful. And this is something that convicts me a lot. I've been in America 12 years now. According to American culture, I have achieved the American dream. I moved here 2009, got an education. I found a girl from Minnesota. We have three beautiful kids. We have a home. To be honest with you, there is no reason I am going to be moving back to Uganda. Because I have made it in America, right? I have a home. I'm not behind on my mortgage. I have a job. Why go back to Uganda? And yet all this, I realize, has made me complacent. I just need to go back to the first love. Why did I move here in the first place? Because see, every time, I come from a culture where even when you show up to work, you're not guaranteed of a salary. But we live in a culture where on the 15th day, you know that your money is going to show up. It then becomes so easy for us to become complacent. it then becomes so easy for us to become unfaithfulness, to become unfaithful. Guys, but we do serve a God who is faithful. God is not man, according to the book of Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that should lie, or a son of man that he changes his mind. He has said and will do it. For he has spoken and will he not fulfill. What this scripture does is to distinguish us from the God that we have believed in, from the God that we have trusted in. We have seen the disposition of man. Because as men, we are narrow-minded, we are hasty, we are short-sighted, we relapse, we are ignorant, we are prejudiced, we are forgetful, we have mood swings. Our faithfulness really depends on circumstances. We have lusts and passions that control our faithfulness. But Numbers tells us, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he changes his mind. That's the biggest distinction between us and the person that we have believed. He is not man, guys. He is not a son of man that he should change his mind. His word is true and amen, forever and ever, amen. God has called us to be faithful, just like he is. A God who is above all our inconceivable weaknesses. A God that is not going to be affected by any of the factors that make us unfaithfulness. That's the God that we have believed. And the question is he that God that you have believed? Because I want to say that a lot of us haven't believed that God. We haven't believed a faithful God. We have a form of God that we have believed, and that is who we are preaching. We might become unfaithful because we are discouraged. We do not see any fruit in what we are doing. We want to quickly count our losses. If God has spoken, he will fulfill. His word will not go back to him void of what he sent it out to do. I just want to encourage you, friends, today to continue pressing on. Some of you are ministry leaders, and you have been praying and praying and praying for years and years and years. You have burdens that you have carried for years and years and years, and you don't see any hope. But the Bible says, when he says it, he's going to fulfill it. See, he says his word is not going to go back to him void of what he has sent it out to do. So, really this is for me more than anything. I told you guys that I moved here 9 years ago. No, not 9 years ago, 12 years ago in 2009. My goal was to come to the United States, go to school, for 5 years, then move back to Uganda and build a school. It has been 12 years. And tell you what, there has been a ton of discouragement. This summer, really this is why I feel God gave me this message. This summer, my wife and I went back to Uganda, and we started construction on this school that God has given us. We had acquired 12 acres of land, and it was the most amazing thing to see 4 classrooms being built. Now, this is from a boy who was on the streets praying that God will bring me to the U.S., help me get to Bible college, help me get to school of education, and move back to Uganda. After 12 years of me being in America, I went home and I saw firsthand the buildings being raised up. And it was one of the most surreal experiences. And my plan and prayer was, God is going to open up doors. And that when I move back to the U.S. at the end of the summer, we will have a lot of support. And we will sell our house and move to Uganda. And when I moved here, when I came back, we had only 30% of the money that we needed to go home with raised. The construction that we are supposed to be done wasn't. And the schools in Uganda are closed indefinitely. And so I'm just being honest with you. There's been a ton of discouragement. There has been a lot of discouragement. And part of me is saying, why? This is at the backdrop of my entire family saying, you don't need to come back to Uganda. You have made it in the United States. This is at the backdrop of all my friends saying, you were a fool. You are leaving a paying job in the U.S. and choosing to come back to Uganda. This is at the backdrop of my wife's family saying, you are stealing our grandkids. But is God faithful in this? He said it. And what we are doing right now is waiting on him. I don't know what you guys are going through in your personal lives, but I want to tell you today that we believed in a God who is faithful. We believed in a God who is not going to deny himself. Let's read this from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 9 to 11. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generation, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not slack with one who hates him by destroying them. He has an obligation to you guys. God has an obligation. From what we see in this scripture, he says he keeps his covenant to you. Another verse that I found that really spoke to me is from the book of 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. Even if we are not faithful, he will remain faithful because he can't deny himself. Do you guys understand that? Amen. I'm going to read that again. Even if we are not faithful, he will remain faithful because he can't deny himself. I don't stand here saying that all these 12 years I've lived in America, I have been faithful. No. But guess what, guys? Even if I remain unfaithful, God is going to be faithful. God is going to be faithful. I don't know what you are going through. I really don't. As a ministry leader, as a pastor, I don't know what you're going through right now. But I want to tell you, we believed on a God who is faithful. We believed on a God who is not going to deny himself. What these verses show us, let me just read these last few notes. Paul's notion of faithfulness of God is that his nature and character constitute for him, if I may say, a solemn obligation that he is his own law, that he is bound by what he is, and that he never can be in any smallest degree anything contradictory or falling beneath the level of his own equable, consistent, and uniform self. God is faithful by whom who we are called unto the fellowship of him. Guys, the Bible says that his word became flesh and lived among us, right? We have seen that even from the very beginning, God has been faithful. But even with the coming of Christ, we see that the word became flesh, lived among us, and accomplished what he had sent it to do, and continues to accomplish what he sent it to do. So we can test that. But this is what we also need to remember. The divine judgments against sin and sinners will infallibly be executed. Because he says so. He says that he's going to punish those who don't believe in him. And that is going to come true. He's going to punish the unfaithful. And that is also going to come true. He's not only going to be faithful in just meeting our needs. He's also going to be faithful in punishing those that refuse him. Let's remember that, guys. That's who he is. God is not going to deny his nature. So may we remember that. Many of us have not actually believed in the God of the Bible. We have believed the God that is so different. A God that is cultural, whose word is powerless in our hearts and lives. And that is the God that we present to others today. May we, like the Father in Mark 9:24, proclaim our inadequacy in Christ. May we run to him and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's what I had for you today, guys. I don't know where you are on that spectrum of faith. I don't know what is feeding your faithfulness. But I want you to understand, God's word is alive. This God of the Bible that we preach is alive and well. And it requires to obey. He requires us to be faithful in every facet of our life. Not just in those minimal things that we can quickly show off. God requires us to follow him at his word, because his word will never go back to him void of what he sent it to do. If you are struggling with forgiveness, if you are struggling with shame, I need you to remember his word is there for you. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and all our unrighteousness. He has forgiven you. Literally, everything that we need, the Bible speaks to it. And if we truly believe his word, then we are not going to live defeated lives, guys. We are not. We are going to live lives that truly honor him, that truly focus on him. Let's pray. Father, there are so many times I've been unfaithful. Father, there are so many times I've depended on a God that I have made up in my mind. A God who I think helps those who help themselves. That's the God that I have walked with a lot of times. Father, but your word has purpose. Your word has meaning. Your word is power, Lord. Your word is life. Your word is alive and well. Father, may we come before you today and understand the deep meaning of your words, Lord. When you say that you are not Son of Man, that you can change your mind, may we understand that, that you are a dependable God. Father, that we can face you in every struggle in our lives, that we can look up to you in every struggle in our lives, Lord. Father, that we will not run to conventional wisdom. Father, that we will not run to friends, but that we will run to you, Lord. Because your word is powerful. Because you are all-knowing, Lord. Father, help our unbelief, Lord. Help our unfaithfulness. Lord, may we not quench the Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Lord, I pray that you convict us today. I pray that you do a deep work of your Spirit, Lord. Father, I pray that you steer the men and women's hearts in this room toward an utter surrender to you, Lord, that they will understand who you are and the God that has called them. Father, that it is not by might or strength that we do what we do, but it is by your Spirit who lives on the inside of us to accomplish, Lord, that which you have promised. Father, I bring before you men and women in this room right now. I don't know what they have been struggling with. I don't know for how long, Lord, but you are a faithful God and you have called us to trust in you, to trust in your ordinance, to trust in your provision, Lord. Father, that they will remember, that the men and women in this room will remember, that they will not forget that they have been called by you. Father, that they will remember that you are all-knowing, that you are all-powerful, that you are omniscient, that you are omnipresent, Lord. Father, convict the hearts of men and women in this place. Steer them up for you, Lord, that they will remember what is required of them to continually and daily bear the fruit of the Spirit, to go out and live out the Great Commission through their lives, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we pray all this believing and trusting in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much.
Please join Awaken Me here on KWAM every Sunday at 10 a.m. To hear more messages from the pastors and guest speakers of Awaken Me and more worship led by Bruce Carroll and Paul Berkus, please visit our website, jesushelps.me. That's jesushelps.me. For questions, comments, or prayer requests, please email awakenme at info@jesushelps.me. info@jesushelps.me. Or leave a message at 1-855-775-3787. Once again, 1-855-775-3787. Awaken Me is an all-volunteer group, so please leave a message and we will return your call. Thank you for joining us today at Awaken Me.
This is a Belly of the Whale production.